Right, the reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 9 to 17. John chapter 15, verse 9 to 17. This is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command: love one another.
Probably one of the most famous passages of Scripture, really, when Jesus talks about love and friendship and obedience. I don't know if you remember far back enough to be a child again, but one of the questions you ask, maybe in the school playground, maybe in the street, amongst people that you play with, you do that kind of selection process thing, don't you, where people that you like, you ask them that question: will you be my friend? I don't know whether you remember asking that. Maybe you ask it still today. Maybe you don't ask it verbally, but maybe in your heart you still ask that question. You know you need a friend. We all need friends. But maybe you don't ask it because maybe you got your toes trodden on. Maybe you got hurt in a friendship. But you still need a friend. You have a fallout with your husband or your wife, and somebody says sorry and asks for forgiveness because you need a friend. And to be in broken friendship is painful. Jesus here speaks about friendship in John 15. And I want us to think about that for a few moments. We're looking at this passage or this series called Impact, and two or three messages on impact amongst friends. But what is it to be a friend? What is it to have a friend? I have a friend who her and her husband came down this week and stayed with us a couple of nights. They're very good friends for many years, and our relationship was a bit sparky at first, till she sent me a postcard one day, and on it was just this quip: meet me halfway, the exercise will do you good. And we still tease each other about that, but we tease because we're friends, been friends for 30 years now. It's great, and we love getting together as two kind of husbands and two wives. But friendship really flows from how and who we are made. In creation, there's this point where God says, let us make man in our image. And here we find that in verse 9 of chapter 15 that Catherine read, Jesus talks about this incredible friendship of the Holy Trinity. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. I don't know how you see the Holy Trinity. It's very hard to explain. And I know some preachers will talk about an egg. And they'll say, you know, an egg's a shell, a white, and a yolk. But together they are egg. And so you've got three things making one thing. And that works a little bit. You've got, some people talk about water. Water can be gas as steam. It can be liquid as water. And it can be solid as ice. So you've got water being three things and yet different, and yet always H2O. That's nearer, that's pretty good. But I don't think you can really beat what some would call an Eastern Orthodox Church notion. And they always speak about the relationships of the Trinity. The best way I can sum it up is simply that the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit are so close. They're not like that. They're so close that they are one. And the Son can do nothing without the Father and the Spirit. The Spirit will do nothing without the Father and the Son. The Father does everything in and through and with the Son and the Spirit. Has anybody read The Shack? Hands up if you've read The Shack. Oh, good number. You're getting there. Right. Read The Shack. I'll be recommending it in Pastor's printout next week. I've been waiting just for the right space to do it. But The Shack is a novel. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, says that The Shack is that one about the pilgrim who goes on a journey and makes some progress. Okay. Pilgrim's Progress for the noughties, for the 21st century. And it tells the story of a man who's been very, very badly damaged in life, and he has a meeting with God. And it's a surprising meeting. But what is interesting in the shack is the incredible, powerful relationship of unity that God, the Father, Son and Spirit have together that make them one. Now, the problem when you paint pictures in this earth is that they always fall short of the mark. So please don't tell me you've read The Shack and now you understand the Trinity. Okay? Those pictures don't work that far. Don't think we'll ever understand the Trinity till one day we're in the presence of Father, Son and Spirit and we'll suddenly go, ah. In fact, we'll go, wow! Okay? But read The Shack. But it's this oneness. And so God creates. He doesn't just create kind of man or mankind. And as kind of a, like almost like a model. Do you ever remember Tony Hart doing Morph? You know, this little clay figure kind of just squirges up from the ground. It's a good word, isn't it? Ground. just squirges up from the ground and there's this man there, you know, and he just kind of blobs around. He's a bit amorphous, you know, and blobs around. But anyway, it's not like that. And God made us in his image. He didn't just make us kind of almost shaped. It was that who we are actually becomes an expression of all that God is. And our need to be able to say to some people, will you be my friend, actually comes out of this being made in God's image. We need friends because part of who we are is to be relational, or probably better, interrelational. And I've said it before, but I'll keep saying it. I am more human because of you being in relationship with me. And I know you won't believe it, but you are more human because of me being in relationship with you. We are more human because of our relationships than we are isolated on our own. Friendship flows from the Trinity. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. But then when you begin to look into this passage, you see some key things that are absolutely vital for us to grow great friendships. To grow a great friendship with God. But if that's happening, then out of it will flow us actually being more whole, more able to be great friends. First of all, in verse 9 we find that love is commitment. Jesus speaks and says, remain in my love. Stick into it. I love the picture of a tree whose roots are on rock. And occasionally if you walk through the woods and down by a stream, you might see this kind of trees like this. And the roots are literally kind of, it's almost like it's hanging on for grim death. But it's not. It's a huge tree. But it's got its roots fastened round rock. And it remains there. It's stuck fast, it won't shift, it won't budge. And Jesus said, commitment, which is what friendship needs for it to really work. It has to have that remain about it. Remaining, not just remaining, but remaining in God's love. Knowing God's love makes you better able to love. Knowing God's love makes you and me better able to receive God's love. Absolutely vital. In the Bible, the shortest definition of God is simply from 1 John 4. God is love. And you know I'm not talking about pop song love or a bunch of roses on February the 14th kind of whimpering, soppy love. It might not be for you, but that's what it would be for me. That's why I never send them. It's true. That's another story. But I'm not talking about kind of shallow love. Boxes of chocolates love that melts. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of love that is till death do us part. The kind of love that saw my Saviour, your Saviour, hanging on a tree and prepared to die for it. That kind of remaining in that love is absolutely vital for friendship to work. Rooted. Love is commitment. Love is obedience. Jesus said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And you can take this one of two ways, I think. You can either take it as a kind of, I better do what Jesus says or he won't be friends with me anymore. That's a bit classroom, isn't it? A bit playground. But a lot of us have that attitude. A lot of us have that kind of written into our spiritual consciousness, if you will, that I better do it or else kind of think. I better do it or else Jesus isn't my friend. But actually, I always believe that the real obedience of friendship is delight. You know, I make my wife a cappuccino coffee every night of the week. I don't drink cappuccino, just rarely. I drink it black. Take it like a man. Catherine loves the cappuccino coffee. Actually, you've got to know this. She only loves it when I make it. Right. Who needs February the 14th? Who needs February the 4th? I don't need it. Every night of the week. And you know, sometimes I sprinkle sugar on top and I get the blowtorch out of the kitchen cupboard and I melt the sugar and make it all crispy. And it's called cappuccino brulee. And you don't get that in Starbucks. All right? You just get it at Andrew Gardner's. Okay? £6 and it'll be £3.50 to you. Now I've really lost where I was going. No, I haven't. The thing is, the best kind of obedience comes out of delight. It comes out of delight. Delight to love. Delight to show love. Delight to understand what the person you love loves most, and so you desire to please them in that way. Jesus never ever wanted that kind of gritting, I better obey him or else he won't be friends with me kind of love. You read Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the whole Bible. And it's a psalm dedicated to obedience to God's word. But you never ever get a sense that I better obey or else. You read the whole psalm and you get this psalmist, this songwriter, this king who delights in God's love. And out of that delight comes a delight in God's word and a delight in obedience to God's word. Love is obedience. But love is self-sacrificing. I've got the verse wrong there on the screen, I think. But verse 13 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. Love is self-sacrifice. It gives up self. How often do we make that a struggle, both in our relationship with God and with each other? giving up self is so hard. You know, times giving up self is hardest. Sometimes it's when you've got to apologize. It's when you are the one who has to say, I am sorry, please forgive me. And I wish we had a whole bunch of husbands around who were humble enough to say, I'm sorry, darling, I got it wrong. You were wrong anyway, so you may as well say sorry as well. Okay? You know, men of humility are real men. To be able to say, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. To sacrifice the self at that point. To put others before you. Jesus said, greater love has no one. And lays down his life for his friends. Love is self-sacrifice. But then also, love is a witness. It says here in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Love has great blessings. Somebody who loves well builds fantastic relationships. Because it's not about your need for a friend. It's just about God's love in you being able to love others well. If you're desperate for a friendship and you as an adult are asking that question, will you be my friend, all the time? Maybe discovering God's love has got to be the basis of you growing forwards in your ability to build good friendships. Jesus said this in John 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Love is intended to bear fruit. What did Jesus say? I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. The blessings of relationships, commitment, self-sacrifice, delighting in obedience, those things bear fruit. You know, because you'll have been in relationships that didn't bear fruit. Relationships that got so tough and stuck or torn and broken that there was no fruit bearing there. There was no life in that anymore. Maybe you've been into a church and been in that church has actually damaged you because some of the relationships there went wrong. And you came away hurting. I can tell you, it was never meant to be like that. If we somehow are meant to reflect or mirror, embody, live out what it means for God to be Father, Son and Spirit as one, then actually we should be growing closer and closer together as one. I do marriage prep sessions, and there's a guy called Walter Trobisch who wrote a book many, many years ago called I Married You. Still a classic. And he talks about moving through a triangle in relationships. And I can't quite remember it right, but on one side you've got a husband-to-be, on the other side you've got a bride-to-be, and on the top you've got God. Okay? And as you grow closer and closer and closer and closer to each other, so you're meant to grow closer and closer to God. That's just one of the ways he uses that triangle. But imagine if we were all growing in God's love. Really growing out of God's love would be closer and closer and closer and closer relationships. I love it when I hear about salt groups doing community stuff together. Going out for a meal together. Going to Tempin Bowling together, or sitting down to do Bible together. Because that sense of togetherness means that you're growing in community together. And actually that becomes a blessing to others. What did Jesus say? By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's kind of that passage of scripture. And the reason I would preach that or share about that passage about us growing in God's love before we talk about friendships is that it just simply has to come out of us knowing God in Trinity. The greater you know God, the greater I know him and enjoy in and live in relationship with him and his love, that makes me a better friend. Makes me a better lover. but two or three things that just maybe help us in relating to others, growing good friendships. First of all, it's got to begin with commitment. There's a beautiful proverb, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The couple who came to stay with us, and I think I've told you about this before, but I was at theology college with Dave, my friend, and kind of one night we went for a walk, and we sat on a park bench together, and we committed ourselves to each other as friends. We just knew we both kind of needed that kind of friendship, and we just said, let's be friends. And we've been there 30 years. We don't get to see each other all the time because he's in Edinburgh and I'm in Preston. But when we do, I always say it's like we were never apart. Never apart. We just get on such fantastic. But it took a commitment. And some of us, actually, we're frightened of that. Maybe we got hurt in the past and we're frightened of making commitments. I'll tell you this, you'll never build good friendships if you don't take a step forwards personally to give yourself to somebody else. It takes that kind of commitment. Not just that. It takes character. Growing good friendships. Proverbs 27 verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Good friendships are based on honesty. Good friendships are based on openness. Good friendships are based on reliability. Knowing they can be, what's that word? Trusted. Good friendships are based on trust. Good friendships are when a friend can actually tell you, hey, you were wrong. Hey, you're out of order. Or, hey, you offended me and I think we need to sort that out. Good friendships have that kind of reality about them. Isn't it great to have friends like that? It is well worth it. Why? What did I say? Because you're more human. You're more who you are meant to be, as God made you to be, when you're growing good friendships, than when you're not. It takes character of someone who is honest, someone who is trustworthy and true. And then also it takes chemistry. You know, you're not meant to be friends with people you don't like. Shocking, that, isn't it? Pastor's not supposed to say unspiritual things like that. But you know, you've got to engage with people. Now, there are people who you will love, whether you like them or not. Okay? Those may demand a sacrifice. They may mean that you go beyond yourself to love people who you find unlovely. Jesus talks about that. He said, don't just love your friends, love your enemies as well. He's saying, don't just love the people you like and the people who are going to give you a meal if you give them one. Go beyond yourself. But I want to suggest that in great friendships there's a chemistry where you just know. You know you love. You know you like. And to think that God's going to give you somebody that you find very, very difficult. Generally in friendships, there's that chemistry there that makes it work. So look for it. And when you see it and you recognise it's that click, or what some people say, that just knowing in your knower that, yeah, this person could be a great friend and I'd like to be a great friend with them, then go for it. So within this passage, we embody Trinity. But then just kind of three simple things that help us move forwards in friendship. Commitment. It needs somebody to make the going. For you to sit at home and say, well, he never rings me, so I'm not going to ring him. It always needs somebody to make the going. So pick up the phone, for goodness sake. Right? Commitment. Character. You need somebody who you can trust. Somebody who is reliable. Somebody who is open. Somebody who can tell you when you're wrong and is brave enough, able enough, and you're secure enough in that friendship to be able to do that. And then chemistry. Proverbs 27:9. The pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Enjoy great relationships. I'm absolutely convinced of this. God the Father loves being with the Son. Loves being with the Spirit. And it works completely all the other way around as well. If you read the shack, you pick up a sense of God just loving being with Himself in Father, Son and Spirit. And I'm absolutely convinced of this, that God has given us to each other so we can be friends. And actually out of that, delight in Him grows, but also delight in each other grows. Let's pray together. In a moment of quietness, realize this. God is your friend. What does Jesus say here? If you obey my commands, you'll be my friend. Not a servant anymore, a friend. Just know this, you're friends with God and He's friends with you. And maybe you don't know it. Maybe this morning you sit there thinking, I haven't got a clue that God loves me. And just pray a simple prayer and say, God, please show me your love. Let me see it. Let me experience your love. Just the beginning of having an open heart towards Him. Just pray that simple prayer. God, show me you love me. Maybe you've got a broken friendship that you want to mend. In the Spirit, determined to pick up the phone or go round. What will it take? An apology? Commitment on your part? What are the steps to you repairing a friendship? Who are your best friends? Might be your spouse. Might be a brother or a sister. Or dad or a mum. Colleague. Who's your best friend? Person you delight to be with. Pray God's blessing on that relationship. Pray God's love, His grace, His openness and honesty and truth on your friendships and in your friendships.